the security landscape is changing so quickly that it's nearly impossible for anybody to maintain an up-to-date understanding of what the threats are. So how would you characterize changes that have occurred over the past few years, and where do you see the situation evolving over the next few years?
It's best to look back maybe 10 years or so when viruses first started to become something people were concerned about. What happened then was that, you know, it was fanatics who wrote viruses to compete with each other. This was, they were written in college dorms. They were just ways of competing. Intellectuals trying to see who could beat each other by spreading the most, spreading the fastest, not doing harm necessarily. There were only a few viruses that were really malicious, and it had nothing to do with money. With the development of a very strong e-commerce component on the internet, this has changed. It's entirely different nowadays. People speak of crimeware, not of malware or viruses so much, because crimeware describes the fact that it's done for a purpose, and that purpose is money. And for that very reason, you could also see a change in where the attacks are coming from and how they're executed. This is done for profit. By syndicated crime, it's done by people sometimes employed by organized crime and or consulting for, very rarely done for intellectual stimulation.
Email for a lot of years was considered to be essentially the weakest link in the security fence. That's because many different types of attacks could be launched through email. Is that still the case?
Email is just one of the many ways. Looking back many years again, we could say that it was storage devices like floppy disks. That's how infections arrived to your machine, because that was the only way in which your machine connected to the environment. And then as the internet came along, email was really one of the more common ways of establishing connections. But now, with an increasing number of touch points, every application in a way is a gateway to your machine. And each one of them could have a vulnerability. There are so many more ways of gaining access to a victim's machine. And add to that that the attackers have started to take advantage of social vulnerabilities, not only the technical vulnerabilities of the software, but the social vulnerabilities of the users too. And it's a very complex landscape.
Along that same general direction, there's a battle, and maybe battle is too strong a word, that seems to exist between security and utility, or maybe ease of use. So maybe it'd be better to simply say that security and ease of use are in contention rather than in a battle. Is there a time that you see systems will be able to be both secure and easy to use?
Absolutely. I think usability is almost a necessity in order to gain security. Say that you had to input a password that is 200 characters long and contains at least 50 uppercase and 50 lowercase and 50 digits or something like that. Nobody would ever be able to do it. The kind of application that would protect itself in this way would not be used. Survival, of course, is both getting users to accept service and not shortcut the security features and to have a good service in the first place. In order to make this happen, you'd have to make it attainable for the users. So security has to be somewhere in between the ridiculously low and the ridiculously strong. It has to be usable. And I've done lots of work on this, for example, within password reset, where if you forget your password, then what do you do? Well, you could have a very simple mechanism by which you say on a web form the city in which you were born or something like that. But that's very easily data mineable. And even though it's a common approach today, it's ridiculously insecure. Or you could have the user call somebody up and tell their life's history and be interviewed and so on. that might be much more secure, but it's much more costly. There is going to be somewhere, something somewhere in between that strikes a good balance between the usability and the security that we need.
The book that you have written describes a situation in which some USB thumb drives were dropped in and around a building, and the expected results occurred. People found them, and they did what people would be expected to do. They took them back to their desk, plugged them into their computers, and the drives were loaded with malware. The Windows Auto Run feature installed the bad applications. In retrospect, Microsoft might consider the Auto Run feature to be a bad idea. It's certainly something that I turn off, particularly as a safeguard, and partially because in a lot of cases, AutoRun is not really what I want something to happen when I insert a CD or a DVD or a thumb drive. So Microsoft could be considered partially at fault here. And it's really easy to blame users for connecting an unknown device to the corporate LAN. But in reality, most people don't think about security first. And I apologize, this is becoming kind of a long question. At a time when people won't even read things like manuals, how can the average user be educated so that they understand security implications of plugging in, for example, a found USB drive to a corporate LAN, or clicking on a link that has arrived in an email from an unknown source?
Well, one part of the problem here is user awareness and education. And I've spent a lot of time working on those and trying to figure out exactly how to communicate complex, often very complex, problems to users who are not interested in learning necessarily. So that's one thing. There are also going to be technological approaches to this problem. The problem you mentioned, it's hard to say that it's Microsoft's fault only, because in reality, it's something we just need increased awareness of. Say that you walk around on town and I'm at a street corner and say, you know, if you fill out a survey, it takes half a minute and I'll give you a free iPod. Whoa, that's quite amazing. You might give out very vulnerable personal information for doing that, but I could have just a ridiculously simple survey about what kind of countries you would like to go on vacation, because that is not the purpose. The purpose is for me to get you to accept my gift, and an iPod is just like a thumb drive. It's a machine that you connect to your computer. If you buy a router on eBay, how do you know that it's got the right firmware on it? You don't. There are 100 varieties to this problem. And the question is, what kind of thought process does the user go through in order to feel reasonably certain not to get infected? Today, almost nothing.
That's actually a very scary thought. If you had to narrow down security concerns to maybe just one primary concern, your top of mind concern, and to one solution, what would be that concern? And how would you propose resolving the problem?
What's on top of my mind, and this is motivated by the dramatic spread of malware that we've seen recently, what's on top of my mind is the fact that there is a misalignment of incentives. The entities that have the most to lose, they're the financial service providers of the world. They are not the ones that install antivirus software. Of course, they do it on their machines, but they don't do it on your machine. You, the consumer, the end user, you're the one who affect their bottom line by having or not having virus on your machine, or more generically, malware or crimeware. But they have no way of knowing it. You do need an audit mechanism by which they can verify your security posture and be confident in it. Because, of course, the first thing that malware on a machine would like to do is hide its existence and erase the logs of it having entered your machine. So you do need a logging mechanism that allows any stakeholder who has money to lose by you getting infected and performing transactions that you didn't really want, for them to say, this is a bad transaction. We should block this, or we should take further steps. We should check if this is really what we're going to do. I have been part of developing such mechanisms because I do think that they are both inevitable onwards and incredibly important to contain fraud. If fraud goes rampant, it's going to suck out all the profitability out of the internet, and it's going to change for a much worse situation. Today, it's actually possible for fraud rates to go up 50-fold without even increasing the number of infected machines. That's because it's only 1/50th of all machines with malware on them that are used to commit financial fraud. If attackers, the criminals on the web, get organized to take not only 1/50th of all the machines, but all of them, it's going to change dramatically the profitability of online business.
As a result of this, do you think that internet service providers, which of course are very important in terms of home and small business users, should really get more involved in security concerns?
Everybody should. At some point we might need government intervention, but of course everybody wishes for that not to happen, I'm sure including the government, but we hope that there will be some way of a self-regulating market where people understand the problem well enough to act on it in a reasonable way. Far too often today we see that companies do not invest the amount of money they need in order to get security. Maybe particularly so during bad economic times where the investment is now and the potential losses are sometimes in the future. That's a horrible mistake. People should get smarter and invest enough money on both technology and education to feel confident that they're not sticking their neck out to become a big target onwards. I'd like to point out what is an underappreciated fact, that malware is not only a technological problem. Far too few decision makers out there understand the humongous social component of infection, where people might install by free will something that hurts their machines because they think, well, it's from their friends, it's a game, it's a free app, whatever you say. They do not understand the implications of the request by the end user to have a piece of software run on their machine. That's a big oversight. We need to start recognizing this as a socio-technical problem and deal with it accordingly.
So it's more of an individual, personal problem and not so much really a technical issue
here.
Well,
I'm not saying that it's an individual's problem. I'm saying that it's the individual has a lot to do with the end result. Whereas I do say that user education is important. That's not the only answer to this problem. It might be appropriate user interfaces, understandable security. It might be a way of classifying the security that you get and say, no, this is not enough because the user did not input a strong password. It might mean to cover all the cases. For example, password reset is one of my favorites that is so terribly neglected. Companies might insist on strong passwords, but not understanding what a glaring hole the password reset mechanism is. They must take into consideration all the components of security.